border to border and coast to coast, you're connected with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. And hi, how are you? Happy Friday to you. Welcome welcome to the big radio show on this Friday, the 20th of July, year of our Lord, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. We are, I've got more. I can't fit it all in today, but I mean, we've got the tourist boat tragedy, the tariffs, the NFL, back at it again. But today, I would like to start with the story that's in the Wall Street Journal today. Kimberly Strassel, who I like, I think she's really a good journalist. She wrote a piece today for the Wall Street Journal about Brennan and the 2016 spy scandal, talking about the former CIA director who has acknowledged egging on the FBI's probe of the Trump campaign and Russia. So it's fascinating because we've gone up and down the charts, and John Brennan's been there, and lately Brennan's been getting a lot of heat because of the fact that he comes out and he is beyond the bridge, way, way, way over the bridge on his criticism of the president. Look, I criticize the president. You know that I thought the Helsinki thing was an absolute fiasco, but he called it treasonous. I'm sorry. For a guy who was the former CIA director, supposedly, you know, this patriot and all this sort of business, no. He goes on there and says, no, the president of the United States was treasonous. You don't use that. First of all, it doesn't even fit close to the definition of treason. But for a former high-ranking official like this, he's gone off the rails big time. So Kimberly Strassel writes about the fact that the you have to go back and you have to take a look at what's been going on lately with Brennan going absolutely crazy about Helsinki. And shortly before that, we had the lovely testimony by Peter Strzok testifying to Congress saying that, nope, I had no bias. Nope, I hate the guy. I called him every name under the book. He's horrible. He's disgusting. No. I did my job. Then you got Jim Comey sending out Bible quotes and lecturing us about we better vote Democrat in November. Longtime Republican. So he said, that's it. I'm joining the Democrats because they're so honest and forthright. So all of this has been quite interesting to watch these people from just a few years ago that were in positions of high power in government. And it does. I think it's incumbent upon all of us to keep an eye. That's why you folks get mad at me whenever I criticize the president. But that's my whole thing, is I don't trust anybody. And I certainly don't trust politicians. And this is a perfect example of a boatload of people at the highest levels of the United States government that are unbelievable liars. I mean, bold-faced liars. So here's John Brennan now, after Helsinki. He is saying that the president, venality, moral turpitude, political corruption, yelled about the Republicans investigating the FBI. Oh, that's right. We just let the police state do whatever they want. Nobody needs to have any oversight on them. So then he topped it off with the fact that the president's press conference in Helsinki was nothing short of treasonous. So he's a partisan. That's fine. Everybody has their partisanship. Everybody has their views. But this is, he's not just a normal partisan. He is a extreme partisan, very much like Peter Strzok. And so that is why Kimberly Strassel points out that his role in the 2016 scandal is something that is more concerning than even the FBI's. Because Comey stands accused of flouting the rules, breaking the chain of command, abusing investigatory powers, yet it seems far likelier that the FBI's Trump investigation was a function of arrogance and overconfidence by somebody. Who is that somebody? And that's John Brennan. So before he became CIA director, he was a top Obama advisor. The record shows that he went on to use his position to assist Hillary Clinton's campaign. And he was hoping to keep his job because he thought, like many did, that Hillary was going to win. He has also, even though we went around and around on the show a week or so ago when Peter Strzok was testifying, and some of you were surprised to find out Peter Strzok is the man that opened closed the investigation on Hillary Clinton's email server and opened the investigation. He's the one that started the investigation file, which gets the whole FBI apparatus moving on the collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. So he's the guy who physically opened the file. But John Brennan is taking credit for launching that investigation. At a House Intelligence Committee briefing in May of 2017, he explained that he became aware of intelligence and information about contacts between Russian officials and U.S. persons. Well, the CIA cannot do investigations of U.S. citizens. They're only supposed to be overseas. But he made sure that every information and bit of intelligence was shared with the FBI. And with that information, Peter Strzok said, I'm opening an investigation. So Brennan's kind of overstating his role, but he did. He was the guy who kind of got the ball rolling, and Strzok picked it up and did the rest. So now you got a couple of real partisans pushing information through the FBI and pressuring the FBI to get its machinery in place. So Kimberly Strassel writes that what's notable is John Brennan then took the lead on shaping the narrative that Russia was interfering in the election specifically to help Donald Trump win, which quickly evolved into the Trump collusion narrative. And the Clinton campaign was eager to make the claim, especially since the DNC computer had been hacked. So had the Republicans. If you read the indictment, they also hacked the Republicans, but nothing was done about it. So numerous reports show that John Brennan aggressively pushing the same line internally. The problem with John Brennan pushing this idea about the fact that, trust me, there are Russians in getting involved with the Trump campaign. The Trump campaign's involved with these Russian spies. So that got to that was fine with Peter Strzok, as he hated everything about Trump. But who did not buy it was James Clapper, the director of National Intelligence. He did not buy that. And if you remember right, and Kimberly brings it out today, I remember right after the election, I believe, was first of the year, 2017, Clapper's on television, and they said, hey, what's this deal about Russia and the Trump campaign? And he got all nervous and shook his head and said, we don't have anything on that. And Kimberly Strassel's going back to that today, saying Brennan could not get the FBI to sign on to The View, could not get James Clapper to do that. In fact, Clapper publicly refused to say who was responsible for the attack. Now they're saying definitely it was Russia. But nobody then would give John Brennan the time of day, except for Peter Strzok. The FBI continued to believe in the fact that Russia was doing cyber attacks, but that they were aimed at disrupting the political system in our country in general, not to try and aid Donald Trump. So the CIA director, Brennan, could not himself go public with his spin, and he lacked the support of his boss, the intelligence director, Clapper, and he couldn't get the FBI going past Peter Strzok, so guess who he called? Brennan called Harry Reid. Late August briefing. Told the Senate minority leader that Russia was trying to help Donald Trump win the election and that Trump's advisors might be colluding with Russia. Which, by the way, we're still waiting for some evidence on. So, on cue, Harry Reid wrote a letter to Jim Comey, which then became public, which said the evidence of a direct connection between the Russian government and Donald Trump's presidential campaign continues to mount, wrote Harry Reid, going on to float the Russians are helping Trump theory. Harry Reid publicly divulged at least one of the allegations from the infamous Steele dossier, insisting that the FBI use every resource available to investigate this. So Harry Reid jumped on it. Peter Strzok jumped on it. Harry Reid's letter was the first official blast of the Brennan-Clinton collusion between them narrative into the open, that Clinton's opposition research firm, Fusion GPS, had this dossier. Even Michael Isikoff, who's a good investigative reporter, started reporting about U.S. intel officials are probing ties between Trump advisors and the Kremlin. So this is where this whole thing got started. But in his recent book, Russian Roulette, Michael Isikoff said, even Harry Reid believed Brennan had an ulterior motive, that he was a political hack, and concluded that the CIA chief believed the public needed to know about the Russian information, but not saying anything about the fact that John Brennan had an ulterior motive. He was a political partisan running the CIA and trying to interfere in the 2016 election. And it's all becoming clearer by the day. Your reaction, 855-295 6600. Does this surprise you? Be right back.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
So it's funny. So the other day, I'm criticizing President Trump up on one side and down the other about the Helsinki thing. I was shocked. I was stunned. And here it came, man. You guys blasted me. All of you Trumpsters absolutely tore me to shreds. Okay. So now I'm going after the Obama CIA director because I'm telling you, John Brennan doesn't pass the stinkometer, not one inch. And now I'm getting all these emails of, oh, you must be in tight with Trump. Yeah, that chocolate cake in Mar-a-Lago must be good. Oh, yeah. I'm beginning to wonder if Mueller has tapes on you. Hey, come on. Come on, people. Come on. You know I don't trust any of these people. You know I question everybody, from our president to the prior president and to their staffs. But I'm telling you, nobody is really beating on John Brennan, and I've been suspicious of this guy for years. He is a huge partisan hack, and now Kimberly Strassel lays out in the Wall Street Journal today a very clear path between the fact that Brennan's the guy who was pushing for getting the FBI to investigate this theory that he had about Russia's colluding with the Trump campaign. I repeat, you know, we're waiting for Mueller. I've said all along, let the chips fall where they may. Let Mueller finish his investigation. A lot of you don't like me saying that. But when you look at John Brennan, he was definitely behind, oh, yeah, the Russians are colluding with the Trump campaign, and he tried to push it with Clapper. Clapper said, I don't buy that. He tried to push it with a bunch of different people. FBI, everybody, and the only one who bought it was Strzok and Harry Reid. And Harry Reid has just a little bit of extreme partisanship in his background. So here's the bottom line. If you and I care anything about our country, and you want to be able to respect our institutions, and you want to be able to respect especially those like the CIA and the FBI, you can't have partisan hacks like John Brennan running such a hugely powerful organization. The stuff that they can find out, that they can know about you, that can mess with you. So he was extremely in favor of Hillary, and he appears to be doing everything he could to try and point the finger at some theory that he had about Russia and the Trump campaign. It may come out to be true, but this guy was spin in order to help Hillary, and I don't think our CIA director should be involved in our political process. Maybe I'm being naive. Maybe I'm being totally naive, because CIA directors are appointed by the president, so therefore they're political animals. I don't know. I thought Dan Coats yesterday out at the Aspen Security Conference, when he was asked about what happened between Putin and Trump at Helsinki in their conversation, he says, I don't know. And then they said, oh, by the way, Trump's invited Putin to the United States. He said, what? So I think he seems to be a pretty straightforward guy. And even Jim Clapper said, I don't buy your whole baloney here about the Russians are colluding with the Trump campaign. It just seems one more nail in the how do we trust anybody in Washington, D.C., and especially I don't care about trusting the guy down at the DMV, but I do care about trusting the people that are in charge of the FBI and the CIA. I care about that whole Justice Department from the Attorney General on down. They have got to keep their noses clean of politics, and somehow they keep getting involved. But Brennan is, if you read his history, this man is a huge political animal and had tremendous clout. And even some of the people that he went to, like General Clapper, the director of National Intelligence, said, I don't buy it. But he got it started, and maybe that is the root cause of how we got down this road, was because of a political hack starting this thing, where now we spent months and millions of dollars going after, I don't know, wild goose chase? Don't know. Maybe it'll be real, but it smells.
Primetime, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
Yes, it is. Happy prime time. I got a nice tweet from Cyberloafing, who says, look at John Brennan's Twitter profile. Why does he feel the need to refer to himself as a nonpartisan American? If he really was, he wouldn't feel the need to proclaim it. Yeah, he's proclaiming a little loud there, Cyber. I'm with you. Says, former CIA director, 2013-2017, nonpartisan American who is very concerned about our collective future. Yeah, because you're a huge partisan and everybody knows it. Be proud of it. Why are people trying to pretend they're not who they are? I'll even say that about Donald Trump, man. If he likes Putin, and don't backtrack. I mean, I was almost surprised he backtracked the other day about it. I wouldn't thing. No, I believe Putin. But I mean, say what you believe. But everybody, all the communication people come out, oh, you can't say that, Mr. President. You can't say that. Oh, my gosh. Dan Hoffman, the former CIA station chief in Moscow, says Brennan should be the last person criticizing President Trump about Russia.
I would hope that this our administration, the Trump administration, would get the message out a little bit earlier. This administration is facing a lot of criticism, very unfairly, from some quarters, particularly John Brennan, whose partisan and hypocritical attacks would, you know, I mean, it just belies the facts. When you look at the Obama administration's wildly naive reset policy, Brennan really shouldn't be saying the sorts of things that he is. But this administration could blunt those attacks, which I think don't do us any favors, with a clear and concise message about what was discussed and what's the administration's plan for going forward.
Yeah, I would like to hear that, too. And it is starting to come out. But back to his comment about John Brennan has basically hidden in the shadows all the way along. Jim Comey has been put up on the petard. I mean, everybody knows about Comey. Everybody knows about Peter Strzok. Everybody knows about them and their biases and their weird way of doing business. And Brennan's been hiding in the corner. And all of it. And Kimberly Strassel, I think, did a great job of laying out the fact that, dude, this guy was probably the most instrumental person in getting this whole Russia-Trump campaign thing going. Tom Dupree, who is the former deputy attorney general, says Brennan's strongly held political views can make his decisions as CIA director seem biased.
In my view, you have to be extremely careful anytime you have a situation where people with clearly held partisan views are put in a nonpartisan position, such as the intelligence roles in which Mr. Brennan served. I think right now what we're seeing is troubling in that he obviously has very strongly held political views, which is fine, but the problem is that I think it's difficult for people to understand how he could possibly have put those strongly held personal political views aside at a time when he was serving in the CIA.
And that's my problem, is you should not have somebody with strong political views being the head of such a powerful organization that can really mess with you. But I told you Harry Reid was contacted by Brennan, and Harry Reid wrote a letter saying, hey, we should probably look into this whole thing. But Dupree, again, former deputy attorney general, says even Harry Reid thought that Brennan was simply out to get Trump.
It's been reported that when Brennan met with Harry Reid to push a lot of these stories and these narratives, that even Senator Reid, who's no supporter of Donald Trump, thought that Brennan had ulterior motives. So it does raise, I think, very serious questions as to whether there were partisan political influences being brought to bear on what should be the nonpartisan activity of intelligence gathering and investigation.
That's what he should have been doing. So I don't want to just pick on John Brennan, although I'm more than happy to. But what about the current CIA director? What about the next CIA director? What about the next FBI director? How do we keep partisanship out of those offices? Because it is nothing but trouble. 855-295-6600. David in Walnut Creek, California. Hello, David.
Hi. A few things quickly.
Yeah.
One. Both sides always do it. Two, no one ever gets penalized, either losing their jobs or being fined or going to jail. Thirdly, our judicial system doesn't interfere because I think these are interruptions of constitutionality. Who holds these people responsible for what they do? And then, you know, I want to say, first off, I hate it when people call talk shows and tell them how much they admire the host. Well, I really do admire you. I think you're one of the smartest people out there. But
thank you.
But I hear you time and time again saying it's not the rank and file. Yes, it is the rank and file. It's the rank and file in the CIA. It's the rank and file in the FBI, who don't call out their bosses, who don't people are involved in a situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And until, to me, the whole FBI is a rotten piece of wood being held up by a prayer. They should all be told that they
know. You make a great point. They know that the boss is a political hack.
Yes.
And they should say something about it. But they don't want to because their career people and they don't want to lose their jobs. That's what it comes down to. That doesn't matter, government or the private sector. You got a lousy boss. Everybody's had one or more. And the last thing you want to do, you learn to just outwait them until they go on or get fired. But
how is Mueller able to go on and on? How is it that no one puts a limit on this man? That's another thing. It's like giving someone a blank check and saying, hey, you know, as long as you want. You know, I have some good news and bad news for some people. The good news is, or the bad news is, it's going to keep going. The bad news is, the way things are going, it's going to go on for about another six and a half more years.
Well, let me go back to your second point.
Right now,
your second point was the crux of this whole conversation, that nobody ever gets held accountable in government.
Yes.
And so, if you're not held accountable, and you know that the guy that had the job before you was rotten to the core and never got held accountable, then what's to stop you from doing whatever you want to do? Nothing. And
right.
I truly believe, I have nothing to base this on, other than what we've watched in Washington so many times. I think the Mueller investigation is going to lead to a thick report that nobody gets in trouble, other than he's getting the bank fraud on Manafort and those sorts of things. But the other part about Russia colluding with the Trump campaign, I think he's going to come up with, well, they certainly were friendly with some Russians. And, I mean, you know, the Manafort knew people and did business with them. And I don't think anything else, I don't think anything will happen. Nothing. I really don't.
Didn't President Obama go to Israel? Didn't Vicente Fox try to influence our presidential election?
Sure.
It's okay. I really don't care. I don't care. It's okay. You know? But it's
what they do.
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Yes.
And I'm sure we're doing it right now somewhere as well. So, all right, David, great points. I do appreciate your call very much. This is back to Tom Dupree, former Deputy Attorney General. He says Brennan thought Clinton was going to win and he wanted to keep his job in her administration.
Look, I think kind of the conventional wisdom at the time was that there was no way on God's green earth that the United States was going to elect Donald Trump as president. And I suspect that people like Brennan and others were looking ahead to their political future. They were trying to figure out which way the wind was blowing, and they put a bet on the wrong horse.
So how do we keep these people from having political... And to the last caller, nothing's going to happen to Brennan. But he has been hiding in the shadows, while Comey has certainly been put out there for everybody to look at. And Peter Strzok, and we know about Harry Reid, but even those guys, Clapper didn't even buy Brennan's theory. But now look where we are. It's a huge multi-million-dollar deal.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
So the Brennan story is an interesting story, and Brennan is if you read his background, he has a very interesting background. I mean, he where was he born? He was born in New Jersey, and he lists himself as an independent as far as political parties go. But in 1976, he voted for the Communist Party candidate, Gus Hall, in the presidential election. Yes, he voted for the Communist Party candidate, and he went on to become the CIA director. He also included, in his college days, he moved to Cairo and lived in Cairo, Egypt, learning about Arabic and taking Middle Eastern studies courses. So look at this guy. He speaks Arabic fluently. I believe he was, I can't see it right now, but it was he's, I believe, lived in Saudi Arabia for, yeah. Yeah, he was a station chief, CIA station chief in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, when the Khobar Towers were bombed. So it's he's got a global background. I think the one that makes me raise my at least one eyebrow is he voted for the Communist Party candidate for president. 855-295-6600. Brennan is who he is. I don't care if he's a partisan as long as he discloses it. I just want to know how about his partisanship so he doesn't hide as an independent and that he doesn't hide in the shadows and then comes running out and says all this business about, I got to tell you, I think the Russians are involved with Trump. Meantime, he's a huge supporter of Hillary. So was he just laying out a fake trap to cause a problem for Donald Trump? Jesse in Brentwood, California. Hello, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. What do you got?
Happen or ever even be possible, but the party system we have, we need to eliminate it. That's the problem with America today. They have too much control over us, and people tend to vote for a person on their campaign policies on the campaign trail, but often fail to realize that person is going under the umbrella of a party system which has their own agenda, which hijacks basically the way a republic is supposed to work. It's supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. And I really see that, you know, if you sit down, average Joe, or Mary, whoever you want to put it, that we could see past all that stuff and find common ground. But when you involve a political view and agenda,
yeah,
there is nothing but butting heads, and there always will be.
So there are political offices. A lot of mayors are nonpartisan, right? They're just, you vote, Joe Blow's running for mayor. And so they don't have a Democrat or Republican label, but I always find by going to websites that list who's giving contributions to political candidates, it's pretty quickly you can figure out where their partisanship lies because of the money that comes in. If it's all coming in from labor unions, you know it's a Democrat. If it's all coming in from corporations, you know it's a Republican. So I know the label is there, but I agree. The label makes it worse. And people, I don't think they do vote for people based upon what they say on the campaign trail. And what they say on the campaign trail is usually a bunch of lies anyway. But I think they just go with if they're a Democrat and I'm a Democrat and mom and dad were a Democrat, I'm voting for the Democrat. And the same with Republicans. I think that's all it is. They don't spend any time thinking about it.
Right, and therein lies the problem, because then once these guys get into office and the veil is kind of lifted, you know, you really see that they're just going for the party, and there isn't ever going to be a solution to anything that we have today in this day and age, especially when it comes to immigration, this whole Russia thing. There's never going to be a solution, and it's just causing us to be dead in the water. And really, you know, I've lived overseas. The way that we bicker in the world, it just weak. People view us as weak most of the time, petty. You know, most of our news just looks like tabloid stuff. And it isn't any, there is no physical proof of anything happening right now that looks like our country is benefiting from the current party systems that we have, because these guys are just in there getting fat off of the, you know, special interests and the like, you know, and it's just, we have no control once we vote them into office.
I know. I got a tweet earlier from Elizabeth Ann talking about, why don't you ever talk about Trump's lies? Well, if I spent a show talking about politicians lying, I would be here all day long, and I wouldn't get through the A alphabet. So I don't like it. It bothers me when I see the lying going on from politicians. What bothers me more is when you have the head of an agency that is extremely powerful and knows everything about you, if they want to mess with you, that worries me about those people, the CIA director, FBI director, head of the NSA, that those people, I don't know how you clean that up so that they don't have this extreme partisanship. Everybody has a view, but you can't be, right. You can't be a machine, but you got to be able to not be so extreme in your party tribalism that it affects your job. And for Peter Strzok to say, nope, it did not affect me, is no different than John Brennan saying, no, I just had this theory that the Russians were involved in Trump's campaign. So I don't know.
He followed it as a hunch. I mean, come on now. I mean, yeah. You have to think that all those guys, they just woke up the day after the election and they were just even more adamant. And that was a story that they could keep pushing because, you know, honestly, everybody kind of already accepted it. And, you know, to say that your political viewpoints don't get in the way, it's just a bold-faced lie. And it's just a slap in the face to an everyday person where a person knows that their belief system affects the decisions that they make and even what they say and do. And we know that. And it's just funny to watch these politicians think that we're dumb. We're just little sheeple going along with the system and, you know, it's all hunky-dory. But really, honestly, the American people are seeing there's a catastrophic failure basically in the line of accountability for all of these politicians. And I hope we get it this coming cycle, whether it be Democrats taking over or Republicans taking over. Who knows? I just wish it wouldn't be either. I wish it would just be, you know, Americans, you know, getting what they deserve, and they're hardworking. They're putting a lot of things on their line. They're losing a lot more of their money because of taxes and just the government not running well. And we expect more of them. But yet we're getting the same result over and over again, year after year.
Yep.
And I just think that they need more accountability somehow. And I wish that we as a nation would be more responsible after the political process that we have for voting people in.
That's part of my job, is to make sure that some of these veils get lifted so you can see what John Brennan, what he's really about. He's a partisan hack. So, Jesse, thank you for your call. We'll take a short break. We have a busy show ahead, much more coming up.